Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
I love the story about the guy who said, "God, I found the problem, and it's me." And God replied, "I've got the answer, and it's me." Hi, this is Roland. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ told us to take no thought about tomorrow, what we shall eat or drink or wear. It says in the Bible, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God." Peter says, "Cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you." So, obviously, God is the answer, and the problem that we humans have is we look to thought for answers, and we get lost in thought and involved in thought, and we worry and we overthink, and so we need to refine our intuition, be more spontaneous, live by faith, trusting in God and casting our cares upon Him, looking to Him for answers instead of looking to thought. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Find Time for Quiet Time. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Today, I want to talk about anxiety. And I'll begin with a little Bible verse from Ecclesiastes, where the writer says, "Of making of books there's no end, and much learning is a weariness of the flesh." Much learning is a weariness of the flesh. I have yet to encounter a high school student who is unhappy that school is coming to an end and summer vacation is here. And, you know, school, you remember school. It's okay because you have your friends and you have sports and everything. But it's so tedious. It was tedious. It is tedious, and it always will be tedious, because much learning is a weariness of the flesh. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, you know, we have to learn something, otherwise we would just be uneducated and illiterate. I'm not talking about being uneducated and illiterate. First of all, learning to read, if the parents handle it properly. My son was reading when he was like 3 years old. When he was 4 years old, he was reading a lot. And when he was 5 years old, he was reading novels. He was reading novels when he was 5 years old. All right. When like he was 7 years old, he was editing my newsletter. So, you know, it should be, reading is so easy to learn. But they somehow mess it up. They mess it up somehow so that some kids don't even learn how to read. They get learning blocks. Other kids, it takes them forever. Years and years and years, it should be really quick, a short amount of time. Yeah, there's a lot to learn, but it should be spontaneous and it should be things that you're interested in. I can learn at lightning speed. I always have. I can very quickly get up to snuff on something. I can go to the library and scan books. I can go on the internet and scan. But see, I have a little something that helps me out. And what is it? I have understanding. I have common sense. I have a modicum of wisdom. And I have intuition. And those guide me. Those guide me. And so I go to the right places, and I scan, and within a few minutes, I've got enough grist for the mill. In other words, knowledge for me is just learning some, a little bit of technical vocabulary, gathering a little bit of information, and then my intuition, my common sense, my understanding, I can collate that information into what's meaningful for me. And what's useful. And when I'm done with it, I put it aside. Maybe I never read it again. I never go back to it again. But if it's meaningful, if it's if somehow it's of value to me, my common sense, my intuition lets me know that, then sure, I go back and then I see more deeply. So I see, I know, I grasp more deeply each time.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
But to just sit and study and memorize and take tests, it's a weariness of the flesh. You all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're there and you've been scanning this and reading that and researching this, and it makes you weary. Or you've been answering texts and emails, and it goes on and on and on. And at a certain point, it becomes wearisome. You want to put it aside. Now, I'm going to play for you a little promo that I made for a radio station. It's 1 minute long, and it's about quiet time. And I think it's very relevant to this program. So I'm going to play this little announcement that I made about quiet time, and I think you'll see how it's relevant. Have you spent some quiet time lately to be close to God and to think about Him and His blessings? Here at Shedding Shackles, we think that's very important. And Graham Lotz said, "I need the spiritual revival that comes from spending quiet time alone with Jesus in prayer." Adrian Rogers said, "The prayer offered to God in the morning during your quiet time is the key that unlocks the door of the day." In Mark chapter 1, it says, "Very early in the morning, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Please join Shedding Shackles this weekend. We're going to be talking about finding time for quiet time. All right, I'm back. Christ would often go, look, he was with people. He loved people. He was with them. He helped them. He communicated with them. And he loved to be with them. He ate with them. He fellowshipped with them. But then he needed to go off for quiet time. He began his day early in the morning. He went off by himself for some quiet time. We all need quiet time. Now, quiet time is both a physical thing, you know, where you go and sit quietly somewhere, but it's also setting aside all of the learning and all of the texts and all of the social media announcements and prompts and all of the emails and the news and all of that. You just set it aside for some quiet time. Now look, for example, God gave us sleep. He gave us sleep, and during sleep, our body rests. But what else happens? In some mysterious process, yesterday's, all of the stuff that of yesterday is cleared away for the most part. It's like emptying your cache on the computer. You know, when it gets all bogged down because you've been to so many sites, then you clear the cache and then everything's good again. So it's like during sleep, somehow your cache is cleared. And in the morning, you wake up fresh and ready to face the day. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be. So yeah, we have to work. We have to send emails and texts and receive them and communicate and all that stuff. Yeah. But then you put it aside. But I want to go even deeper. So far, I haven't gone very deep. I want to go deeper now. I want you to see that there is a connection between anxiety and excessive thinking, analyzing, studying, decision-making, and so on and so forth. In fact, there's a phenomenon about, for people, it's called failure to launch. It's where young adults somehow, they manage their anxiety by clinging to home and then, or and looking to adults, you know, parents and grandparents and everything to help them with decisions. When they have to make decisions on their own, they have anxiety. And then they find ways to avoid the anxiety. See, they avoid the anxiety. And they somehow they're delayed. So more and more people are delaying launching. And some people, they really have a hard time launching and becoming independent and going out on their own and so on. And in a large part, it has to do with trying to avoid anxiety. Now, I get involved in something, and then there's the worries, and there's the fears, and there's the doubts, and there's the trying to figure out what should I do? Should I do A or should I do B? And what are the advantages of A and what are the advantages of B? And whenever I get involved in that sort of thing, see, I start to feel about the only way I can put it is a little bit of anxiety. But you know what that is? It's warning me to take a mental step back. It's showing me that the very process itself, see, in other words, life was meant to be spontaneous. The way little kids jump from bed in the morning and rush across the carpet, ready for a day of adventure. And it's spontaneous. They do a little this and a little that, and a little this and a little that, and they learn at lightning speed, and it's all great fun and an adventure. That's the way life was meant to be. We're not supposed to be bogged down in analyzing every move and trying to decide every move and worrying about every move and what if this and what if that. And life should be spontaneous. Do you remember the story where Jesus was there and Mary and Martha? And Mary was listening to Jesus and just enjoying being with him. And Martha was rushing around doing this and doing that. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you know, why don't you just relax a little bit? It's not that we don't need to do things, but there's a way of getting all busy and caught up in the things and making them too important." And that's where she was falling into that. And I remember, so do you get it? More spontaneous. If you plan, let's say you have a dinner and some people are coming over. All right. You make the meal and set the table and your house is clean, and that's good enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, the main course doesn't have to be perfect, and the napkins don't have to be perfect, and the living room and the flower arrangements don't have to be perfect, and your clothes don't have to be perfect. Just do enough and then be spontaneous, and you'll find that people will enjoy themselves more that way too. It'll be a lot more fun if it's spontaneous. I don't know how many of you have you ever had a little adventure where the day came and you had to go somewhere and it was an adventure and it was a lot of fun. And then sometimes you planned to have fun, you planned it ahead, and then it didn't work out so good. So life is so, what did they say? We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. And so anything that opposes faith, excessive planning, worrying, and what does that involve? It involves digging into your thoughts, looking to thoughts for answers. There's the problem. If you want it in a nutshell, the metaphysical problem is, and the basis of all the problems that are issues that arise is looking to thought for answers. Where we should be looking for answers is to God. It's called living by faith.
Hi, my name is Ava. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo? Many of us get upset too easily. Jesus told us to love others and be more forgiving. Roland believes that meeting each moment properly could be the start of a whole new Christian life. Interested? Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station? You'll be glad you did. Once again, that's Shedding Shackles every weekend on this station, or 24/7 at sheddingshackles.com.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Hi, everyone. Today, I want to talk about anxiety and a new word that has come into the vocabulary that people are using called adulting. Adulting. And basically, adulting has a lot to do with avoiding anxiety, managing and avoiding anxiety. And so we're going to talk about anxiety. Everybody knows that we have a lot of what's called information overload. We know that. And we know that if we can cut down on the amount of information we are required to process, then that's good. That reduces our stress level. We know that. And especially you parents, you should make sure that your kids are not overloaded. Sure, they're overloaded with social media, texting, and all that. But don't forget school. See, I homeschooled my son. He was homeschooled. And so his childhood was more free to grow naturally and not have things forced upon him and not to be forced to study, process and ingest knowledge. So here's the point of today's program. Today, I'm speaking from a metaphysical perspective. The problem for the human race is that we look to knowledge for answers. That was the original sin, wasn't it? To doubt God and look to knowledge for answers. And that includes looking into thinking for answers and then being forced to analyze and try to decide and have to choose. It causes anxiety when you have to choose, when you have to decide. See? All right. Well, that's the basic problem. Now, it's not that knowledge is bad. Yeah, we do need knowledge. And like that. But knowledge should be a tool of understanding. That's it. Understanding. First understanding, and then knowledge is used as a tool of understanding. If I have understanding, then I can speak, and my words will be reasonable and will have wisdom in them. You understand? So on a practical level, yeah, we should cut down on the information overload. It's not necessary to watch all the news and to know all the weather and all of the texts and all of the social media and everything that's bombarding you. So cut back on it to the extent that you can. Take time for quiet time. All right? And then the other thing, and this is much more important, look to in understanding, to intuition, to what you know in your heart. In other words, to God, who gives us intuition, who gives us understanding. Look to Him for answers. All right? And when you're looking to Him for answers, then you wonder, you question, maybe you search a little bit, and then the answer comes. All right? And you have to be more like Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein always talked about intuition. They don't tell you that, do they? He talked about intuition. And where do you think his insights and his realizations came from? They came intuitively, wordlessly, a flash of insight. And then he used his imagination for thought experiments. We hear about those. Yes, he did. So he used his imagination, his intellect. See, but first came intuition. All right. So now you see the problem of the human race, having fallen away from God and walking with God and having faith in God and having intuition as a guide. See, people who have been in extreme situations, people in the military or in law enforcement, they know about the hunch, about getting an intuition. They have a sixth sense that sometimes protects them. Well, that's another aspect of intuition. So with intuition, with understanding from God, with answers that come when you inquire of God and you don't know what to do about some important thing, and all of a sudden there's an answer, and you begin to trust in that process, then you've got it made. You won't feel like you're this lone ego in the world struggling with all this information and having to decide and analyze and all that. Got it? All right. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's program. So I think you'll like it. Where we should be looking for answers is to God. It's called living by faith. And as an extension of looking to thought for answers, looking to books to answers, looking to experts, looking to the internet, looking to articles, looking to YouTube videos, looking to people and organizations, where should we be looking for answers? Where we should be looking for answers is to God. It's called living by faith. And how does he, what does he give us? He gives us intuition. See, he gives us intuition so you can wordlessly know. Wordlessly, you have understanding. And then when you have understanding, yeah, you can do a little bit of research and gather some information. And then your understanding, you can use it. But when you have pure knowledge without understanding, it's totally lopsided. And the intellectuals are always the ones that they don't have any faith. The intellectuals are always the ones that mislead people. They're always the ones that mislead people into communism and Marxism and goofy ideas like during the French Revolution. And now you can even see goofy ideas that are being pushed on people. It's the intellectuals, the ones that look to knowledge for answers, because knowledge is lopsided and thoughts can be tricky. How are you going to know what's right? You have to have some kind of a source. Everybody's saying something different. Intuition. Look to your intuition. Then you can be like Albert Einstein. He loved his intuitions. His flashes of insight and his realizations came to him from intuition. And then he used mathematics as a tool. And he used thought experiments. He used his imagination as a tool. First, intuition, and then the other things as tools of intuition. But intuition always has to be there. Understanding, there's another way of putting it, always has to be there. So then you can use knowledge, but you always have understanding, and you always look for guidance from above, from within and above, from your Creator.
Albert Einstein once said, "There are two ways to live life. As if nothing is a miracle, and as if everything is a miracle. If there's no miracle or magic in your life, your planning and scheming has taken the place of following principle. Along with God's grace, He gives you the power to do things, but they must flow naturally." Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
First, intuition, and then the other things as tools of intuition. But intuition always has to be there. understanding, there's another way of putting it, always has to be there. So then you can use knowledge, but you always have understanding, and you always look for guidance from above, from within and above, from your Creator. See, and when you have faith in God and you follow your intuition, look, was in the Garden of Eden, Adam knew what was right, but the serpent came along and spoke to him with words and put ideas in his mind and encouraged Adam to look to knowledge. See, he said, with knowledge, you can be like a god. So Adam not only listened to the words of the serpent, he got lost in his thinking and the word pictures that the serpent was painting for him. And then he reached for knowledge. And you know the rest of the story. He fell away from an intimate knowledge of God, intimate communication with God, and fell into thought. And thereafter, he became subject to thought. And that's why when you are taught to look to thought, and you're forced to spend a lot of time studying and so on and so forth, it becomes a weariness. And it's you have anxiety because what? It's a danger. You sense danger of being lost in your thoughts. Because from down there come all the worries, the doubts, and fears, and answers that aren't really answers. And then you have to start second-guessing yourself and try to avoid this and that and making one decision and then suddenly reversing it and all that kind of stuff. So I think you understand faith, understanding, first understanding, and then knowledge.
Email Roland now at roland@sheddingshackles.com. Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.